We are welcoming in Fireman Kenny for Community Conversation.
Well, good morning, Rick. Good morning, all the listeners. Happy 2022. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout out. So congratulations to Rick Jensen for his International Association of Firefighters Media Award. Because of the commitment by Rick, WIBD, and Magnum Media to the Community Conversation segment, including my monthly show, as well as interviews with other prevention and community risk reduction personnel, like let's take Sam Nolan and Ginger Knapp from Frederick Hospital dealing with strokes and trauma, and West Bend Professional Firefighters IFF Local 2025 President Steve Inhofe dealing with fire department staffing. We submitted Rick for the annual IFF Media Awards. Rick won first place in the journalism category for best news story, series, or feature published in a newspaper, magazine, web-based news site, or trade publication.
Woohoo!
So congratulations, Rick, on that award. So
thank you.
If things work out well, because we're going to have Steve Inhofe in here talking about the staffing studies, so hopefully it'll work out just perfect that he'll have that plaque for you on the day that he's able to come in here.
There we go.
So, yeah, we can take some pictures and put that out there.
Yeah,
so,
well, I appreciate you entering.
Yeah.
No idea that it existed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's been 5 years that we've been doing this show just about. And so it's a great outreach for us. And, you know, it counts towards, like, let's say when we have our 2% dues money, which comes from the insurance companies that goes towards the state. So outreach and prevention activities count towards that in that formula, as well as for ISO rating. So the insurance services organization has a rating and prevention is part of that. And it's actually bonus points. So we got 4.84 out of a possible 5.5 bonus points for prevention, which actually dropped the ISO rating from a 3 to a 2, which actually gets better insurance rates for businesses and homes throughout the West Bend area that's in our coverage area. So we're a 2 in the city, and then we're a 4 in the areas that we cover in the town of Barton and town of West Bend. And this show is part of the prevention extra points that we got with all of the formulas that come across that.
So so people listening to you and I talk are saving money on their fire insurance.
Exactly. So if you're out there listening, and not just listening, but actually following the things that I tell you, and again, I've talked about it all the time, when I see the listeners out in the public, they say everything you say is common sense. So the listeners are doing a great job. It's all the people who aren't listening. So all the listeners, if there's people that you think need to listen to this show, and you know, the people that say, hold my beer, watch this, and then do something stupid with, whether it's fireworks, fire, you name it, jumping off a cliff into a shallow river, have them listen to the show and have them stop doing what they're doing.
There we go. All right.
So the West Bend Fire Department had a number of retirements last month. So congratulations to Andy Whitmore, Rick Lisecki, Mike Heinen, and Dan Reisdorf on their retirements from full-time service. And congratulations to John Schwiezo on his retirement as a paid-on-call firefighter. That's about a total of over 150 years of fire and emergency medical services experience between the five individuals. Good luck to all of them in their post-fire and EMS lives.
Wow.
Yes.
And I know that there've also been some new hires as well.
Yes. So we've got Laura Beretta, who had started with us already. And then we've got Austin Brewer, who is training. And then we just ran another application process. So I believe the test is coming up this Saturday. There's a written test this Saturday for some of the potential candidates, and then they'll go through their backgrounds. They also have to pass the CPAT, which is the Candidate Physical Ability Test. So that is actually a number of physical activities that they have to do I can't remember the time period. But there's a number of things, like let's say having a weighted vest and climbing stairs. I want to say that's for 5 minutes. So the stair climber machine, they have to do a number of other physical activities that all simulate what you would do in the first 20 minutes of a fire. So it's very, very intensive. So when I was younger, it was a lot easier to pass those tests. Now that I'm up there in years and I'm in the bureau job, it's not quite as easy. But you know, we have a lot of great young firefighters, and even some of our old firefighters. You know, we've got some old firefighters that are, you know, doing half marathons and doing. So we've got a lot of people that are really doing well physically in their older years in our department.
All right.
So, and then speaking of retirements, congratulations to West Bend Police Department Chief Ken Moyler on his upcoming retirement on Friday. Chief Moyler retires after 19 years with the West Bend Police Department and was with the Milwaukee Police Department for 28 years prior. Congratulations to Captain Tim Deering on his promotion as Chief Moyler's successor.
All right. And they're doing they're interviewing the candidate for new captain later today.
Oh, right. Yes.
And that, police and fire meets. Yeah.
So good luck to all the potential candidates for captain. And then they'll probably go right up the line. So one of the lieutenants will get captain. One of the sergeants will get lieutenant. So there's a lot of really great people working in the West Bend Police Department. I really enjoy working with a lot of those officers. I worked with them more when I was on shift, being on scenes with them. I'm not on, not running as many calls, but I do a lot of other activities with them. And they are, the city of West Bend people have a really great police force and are really very lucky to have the people that come to work here and really are part of the community and really care about not just enforcing the law, but doing it fairly and making sure that everybody's at least somewhat happy when they walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You're just trying to talk Rollinger into sharing donuts with you.
Yeah. We'll see if because Dunkin' Donuts is one of my favorites. So if Matt gets the captain spot, hopefully he's going to celebrate that way. And, fire department will always take donuts from any police captain. It's fine.
All right. How about sprinkler saves?
All right. So we've got our monthly sprinkler saves, or otherwise known as fires you've never heard about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. All right, so in the last month, I've had no reported fires suppressed by sprinklers from anywhere in Wisconsin.
That's surprising.
Well, and so recently retired Kenosha Fire Department Division Chief Guy Santelli, so congratulations to Guy on his retirement, told me there were zero fires in Kenosha for the month of December. So I think, and I really haven't seen that many fires around the state that involved like multifamily residential or commercial. A lot of the fires that have been happening that have been broadcast on the social media pages of the fire departments have been one and two family residential where you normally wouldn't find a sprinkler system
because sure.
They're not mandated, or older four family apartment buildings. So there hasn't been a lot of fires in general. So it doesn't really surprise me that there aren't that many no sprinkler saves for the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I picked two from around the country that show some dangers where sprinkler systems prevented what could have been disasters. All right. The first one is from Petoskey, Michigan on December 2nd. Al Welshheimer, Resort Bear Creek Fire Department's fire chief, said a sprinkler system and two heads were activated, save the clubhouse building at Hearthside Grove Luxury Motor Coach Resort, located north off Petoskey, US 31, at 2075 Cider Press Drive. Welshheimer advised that the call came in as a fire in the office and also as a commercial fire alarm. Smoke sensors were activated, and the Hearthside Grove Luxury Motor Coach Resort developer called to advise of a fire in the office with batteries on fire. The cause of the fire was batteries for two Segways that were charging. Welshheimer said the important part of the fire was the heat and smoke activated the building's sprinkler system, and the sprinkler basically put out the fire.
And again, that's one of those deals like the because batteries, when they charge, are not necessarily the safest things in the world.
No. And so it's happening all over because, again, we've got a lot of things that run on batteries. We're charging batteries all the time. So always make sure that when you're charging batteries, don't leave them unattended. When you're only charge these things when you're around, when you're within sight of the batteries, because if something happens, if you Google it, you'll find battery fires all across the nation. There's at least five or six a week somewhere in the U.S. or Canada where charging batteries started a fire.
All right.
And our second one is from Coralville, Iowa on Wednesday, December 8th. The Coralville Fire Department responded to the 30 Hop restaurant at 900 East 2nd Avenue at 7 a.m. The fire was contained to only a smart corner of the kitchen, and the sprinkler system was able to activate, causing only minimal damage. Fire crews remained on scene until about 8 a.m. Minimal downtime is expected for the restaurant, with damages estimated to cost around $15,000. No injuries were reported. The cause of the fire is under investigation, but is ruled as accidental.
And so, again, $15,000 damage for a restaurant fire is pretty minor.
That's very low. And so our good friends at West Bend Mutual Insurance would probably be extremely happy with a $15,000 loss, because the amount of losses they take with restaurants and other commercial occupancies, the sprinkler system did its job. And any time that we have a fire that could have that does activate a sprinkler system could be a large fire, like I talk about all the time. Big fires start small. You put them out when you're small. We never hear about them. They don't become great news. And this is one of those things that, again, the sprinkler system probably cost, I don't even know, $50,000, $60,000. The damage was only $15,000. You didn't have a sprinkler system. This restaurant would be in the millions of dollars if there was a total loss.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So community risk reduction. We talked a little bit about it earlier.
Yep. So community risk reduction. So even though the main focus in my position is fire prevention, I also focus on the prevention of injury, illnesses, and other potential hazards in the community. The all-encompassing term for my job is community risk reduction, or CRR. To help inform the public about the risks in the community, the Vision 2020 Project has designated January 17th to the 23rd as CRR Week. So what is CRR? The Vision 2020 Project defines community risk reduction as the identification and prioritization of risks, followed by the coordinated application of resources to minimize the probability or occurrence and or the impact of unfortunate events. In simpler terms, there are people who look at what causes bad things to happen and helps promote solutions so those bad things don't happen. So there's five E's of CRR that help mitigate those risks. So the five E's include education, which entails making the public aware of a problem and providing alternatives. An example would be looking at a set of data and determining that children playing with matches and lighters causes fires. Sending out the message for children to not play with matches and lighters educates the public on those dangers.
Okay.
Engineering, which refers to the mechanical solutions we can promote or mandate to help improve public safety. Some examples include fire sprinkler systems that suppress a fire prior to the arrival of the fire department. The engineering of the fire sprinkler system helps reduce the number of deaths and injuries from fire, as well as reduces property loss.
Okay.
Enforcement, which assumes that we have mandated certain features and have an obligation to see that the community complies with the regulations. An example would be the quarterly tests and annual inspections required for sprinkler systems.
Yeah, it doesn't do much good to have a sprinkler system that doesn't work.
Right, yeah. So that's why when we go in, and a lot of the business owners will see the firefighters come in either once or twice a year, and we'll make sure. So some people say, why does it have to happen? Well, because a business owner may forget. They may drop off the list of the sprinkler system company that is there to set those up on a regular basis. So if it's not done, and I think I brought this up, there was a fire, or it was another CRR thing, where there was a hotel, and I want to say it was in Boston or New York or one of the bigger cities, and the sprinkler system had been shut off for 5 years. Well, that's because there wasn't anybody out doing the enforcement, making sure that the business owner was having the contractor come in to make sure that those codes were enforced. So that's why we go in, even though that's all we're doing, we're just making sure it's getting done. But if it doesn't get done, it could be disastrous. And that's why you have us doing the enforcement part of the five E's of CRR.
Okay.
Economics refers to the incentives or disincentives used to stimulate safety actions. One example would be tax incentives for installing a fire sprinkler system in a building. So we don't do that here, but it's always a possibility. And there's other areas throughout the country that do have economic incentives. As a matter of fact, so one of my part-time jobs, I work for the Home Fire Sprinkler Coalition, and I just did a study for the HFSC on Calgary, Canada. So Calgary, they have a brand new area in the north side of the city that didn't meet the 7-Eleven rule. So their 7-Eleven rule in Calgary is 7 minutes for the engine, for the first engine to be on scene, and 11 minutes for the second engine to be on scene. And so everything in this area was supposed to be sprinklered. Well, most of the one and two family homes that got built in the first phase were sprinklered. And then they built a fire station there. So then no longer did the new additional homes have to be sprinklered. But a majority of the one and two family homes in that area are, as well as almost all of the commercial, industrial, and multifamily occupancies in that area. Because they had the economic incentive to do that.
Sure.
And then the last part, the last E of the five E's of community risk reduction is emergency response. So the emergency response is the end result of the failure of the other four E's. So even though fire departments throughout the nation have promoted fire safety since the dawn of their existence, there are still people who don't use common sense and don't listen to the CRR experts. Fires, injuries, illnesses, and other hazards occur because people caused conditions that allowed these failures to occur.
Sure. All right.
So a breakdown of the system causes emergency vehicles to rush to the scene of house fires, car accidents, and other incidents that create devastation and destruction. Please remember to embrace the five E's of community risk reduction to help prevent the next tragedy in the community. For more information, go to crrweek.org.
All right. And, it's a little rough sledding if you're going to try to snowmobile around West Bend today.
Right. So this is mostly, unless we get more snow soon, or I've got friends who have been snowmobiling up north. As a matter of fact, we're going up next weekend. We're going to be going skiing. Our other friends will be going snowmobiling. But International Snowmobile Safety Week is January 15th to the 23rd. So according to the National Institute of Health, snowmobiling has become a popular winter sport enjoyed by more than 2 million people of all ages in North America. However, the modern snowmobile can weigh in excess of 600 pounds and travel at speeds exceeding 90 miles per hour. Each year, snowmobile accidents produce approximately 200 deaths and 14,000 injuries. Excess speed, alcohol, driver inexperience, and poor judgment are the leading cause of accidents. Injuries incurred in children and adults often are extremity fractures, but can involve any organ system. Similar to motor vehicle accidents, multi-system trauma occurs frequently, with head injury the leading cause of death. Reduction in injury and death rates is urgently needed and can be accomplished through education and legislation. So the theme of International Snowmobile Safety Week has never been more appropriate than now. The International Snowmobile Manufacturers Association, that unites all four snowmobile manufacturers, has developed the responsible snowmobile program titled Safe Riders, You Make Snowmobiling Safe. All snowmobile associations, federations, clubs, affiliates, government administrators, and enthusiasts are encouraged to participate in the program. Materials that are available include posters, the fact book, a safety video series that can be downloaded, public service announcements, and the ISMA website with a number of other helpful and useful resources. The International Snowmobile Manufacturers Association has the following safety tips for snowmobile riders. First off, alcohol and snowmobiling simply do not mix. Forget that myth that alcohol warms up a chilled person. It opens up the blood vessels and removes the feeling of chill, but it does nothing to increase body heat. Instead, it can increase the risk of hypothermia, a dangerous lowering of the body's core temperature. With alcohol, you may only feel warmer while your body chills dangerously. Alcohol increases fatigue, fogs your ability to make good decisions, and slows your reaction time. It's part of a formula for disaster. And don't forget, most states and provinces have laws prohibiting the operation of a snowmobile while under the influence of alcohol.
Same goes for motorboats. Same goes for motor vehicles.
Pretty much, yeah. Across the board, if you are going to be operating something that has a motor on it, and I believe even bicycles, too, have a alcohol limit. So just make sure that when you are on your snowmobile to limit your alcohol intake.
Right.
Know your abilities and don't go beyond them. Know your machine's capabilities and don't push beyond them. Know your riding area, get a map, talk to the locals. Learn more, reading manuals and other materials from manufacturers, administrators, and snowmobile associations, or watch videos. Snowmobile clubs, state and provincial associations offer courses, information, and activities. Many members are certified driving and or safety instructors. And be careful when crossing roads of any kind. Come to a complete stop and make absolutely sure no traffic is approaching from any direction. Then cross at a right angle to traffic. For more information, visit snowmobile.org.
I talked with a DNR conservation warden a month or so ago, did some, you know, pre-story kind of stuff. And he talked about down here, he said in southern Wisconsin, because we don't get enough snow that stays on the ground, you get a lot of people snowmobiling out on frozen lakes, which brings up a whole new set of problems. Because he said, you know, you've got, well, you just said 600-pound machine. Mm-hmm. You put a guy that weighs 200 pounds on it and with some gear. It's getting kind of heavy, especially, you know, on ice that may not be as solid as it could be. Or if you're, and of course, say it being ice, there's that controlling difficulty too.
Exactly. So make sure that if we're going to be on the on our snowmobile on the ice, we got to make sure that the ice is frozen enough. So again, like let's say having a day that's in the areas of, you know, 25 or 30 degrees, that kind of weakens the ice a little bit. So make sure that you're not on ice that might not be fully frozen through. Or as experienced, and I can't remember, I think it's about 20 years ago now, the areas on Big Cedar Lake where you've got the underwater springs. So that's what happened. What started the Washington County dive team, Michael Mann was on his snowmobile. The snowmobile quit. He left it out there, came back with, I believe it was a relative, when they went to work on the snowmobile, having the snowmobile sitting there, and both of them on, they both went through the ice. Ooh. And so, yeah, Michael, unfortunately, passed away. His family was instrumental in getting the dive team started because of our loss. That's when the dive team, that's why you see Michael's Angels on the dive team patch. And so, again, that it looked safe. The snowmobile was sitting there for who knows how long it took for him to get back home, grab his relative, and come back. So during that time, that snowmobile had weakened the ice. And then when they stepped on the ice, they went through. And so at any point in time, on any body of water, it could cause a danger because that ice is not always predictable with the strength or the currents that are under the water or changes in temperature. So always make sure you're practicing safety. And like, let's say if you're going to be on the ice, there's other safety tips, like making sure you have some sort of flotation device, on your body when you're on that water, because you never know when you're going to be able to go through. And if you're going to be on the ice, make sure to watch for all the safety tips as well, because there are certain safety tips. Like, let's say the moment you go through the ice, you get the bodily reaction of the shivering, and it'll go away as your body adjusts. Again, you're still losing body heat. You don't want to be in that water, but don't panic right away as soon as you go through. The panic is the worst thing that you can do. Then there's other safety tips that you can do to get yourself out of that water and out of that ice when the ice does break, if your snowmobile does go through.
And what this warden told me, he said the most important thing, he said, talk to the locals and find out.
Right.
Before you go out on the water. He said, talk to somebody from a bait shop. Talk to somebody who lives on the lake.
Yep.
Talk to the guy who's been sitting out there, you know, fishing, to find out where, you know, where the weak spots might be, and then try to stay away from those.
Right. Because if you do a search, you'll find it's almost every winter somebody is going through the ice, whether it's somewhere in the Midwest, somewhere in the northeast area of the country, anywhere in Canada. It happens every year. And so we want to make sure that you're prepared when you're on the snowmobiles to be able to do it as safely as possible.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So what else is going on in the month of January?
All right. For January, we've got National Blood Donor Month, sponsored by the American Red Cross. And I believe the police department is having an upcoming blood drive. Again, I'll have to look at the dates on that one. National Bath Safety Month, Firefighter Cancer Awareness Month. So that'll be a big one that we'll be promoting on the West Bend Fire Department and the West Bend Firefighters Facebook pages. Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, National Winter Sports Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month, and National Law Enforcement Officer Appreciation Day is January 19th. I'm sorry, January 9th. So make sure to have some appreciation for our police officers. And again, I talk about it's always a pleasure. So we always deal with the West Bend Police Department and the Washington County Sheriff's Department. We've got a great number of officers that work for those two agencies. Make sure to give them some appreciation, whether it be donuts or bacon. So they're, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Donuts with bacon.
Donuts, bacon wrapped donuts.
Yeah, you know.
Right. So, yeah, because if you put the donut, either way, you could deep fry them both and then, you know, wrap the dough with the bacon and see what you end up with. I think any officer would appreciate that.
There you go.
For February, we've got American Heart Month, National Cancer Prevention Month, Burn Awareness Week, which is February 2nd to the 8th, and the theme this year is cooking burns. So as I've talked about, I am on the Burn Prevention Committee for the American Burn Association. So be sure to watch for that and do me a favor when you see them. So I will share the social media post. There'll be articles out about Burn Awareness Week, and I will share the social media posts on the fire department page. Do me a favor and share those to your personal and organizational pages. Again, preventing burns is a big part of what I do, and so it means a lot to me. So if you could do me a favor during February 2nd to the 8th, share those. There's also burn prevention social media guides on the American Burn Association website, which is www.ameriburn.org. And then also for February, Congenital Heart Defect Awareness Week, February 7th to the 14th. National Condom Week, which is the full week after around Valentine's Day. Again, that's prevention, so it falls in my wheelhouse, right?
Sure.
And
sure.
National Cardiovascular Professionals Week, February 10th to the 16th. Grain Bin Safety Week, which is February 20th to the 26th. That's a new one for us. I don't think we promoted that one really before.
Hmm.
And then National Wisconsin Day is February 15th.
Huh. All right. All righty. Well, thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Rick. And thanks for having me again. And again, congratulations on your award. Very well deserved. And so thanks again to all the listeners for what you do to help keep. Because one of the things I should say, and I haven't looked at all the stats yet, but civilian home fire deaths peaked in 2020. And I believe we were down from about in Wisconsin. I believe it was 54 civilian home fire deaths in 2020. And I think we only ended up with like 38 in 2021. I have to look at all those stats, but I know we were down. So again, thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to everybody out there who is practicing community risk reduction, being safe on the road, being safe in their homes. I really appreciate all your efforts. So thank you for what you do out there.
Because you're busy enough.
I'm busy enough, and we've got more stuff coming into the city. So every day my workload increases. It's exciting, but if my regular workload increases, if we can decrease the call volumes and decrease the dangers, that'll be really great if everybody helps me do that.
All right, and we're going to talk with Steve more about that later on this month.
Yep, perfect. So KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.